Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis, where we take two of the top stories and break it down a little further for you. First, Iranians have commemorated the anniversary of the return from exile in 1979 of Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Monday marked the start of 10 days of celebrations, which culminate on February 11th, the 31st anniversary of the fall of the U.S.-backed Shah, who had ruled the country for nearly four decades, but who fled 2 weeks before Imam Khomeini's return. From his arrival, Imam Khomeini vowed to establish a new government in Iran based on people's will. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and other senior Iranian officials paid respect to the Imam at his mausoleum in southern Tehran, in which Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, "This year we'll see the definite failure of capitalism, inhuman liberalism, and the start of globalization of the Islamic Revolution." We'll discuss this more in the studio. We have Dr. Fuad Izadi from the University of Tehran. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Izadi. And also from London, Dr. Saeb Shahabi, who's a political analyst. First, we're going to go to you, Dr. Izadi. In your opinion, what legacy has the late Imam left? What do you think he's best known for?
Imam Khomeini is best known for his piety among the Iranian people and the people of the world. He was first of all a religious leader and a spiritual leader, and he was in his 60s when he became involved directly in politics. So he had lived a full life as a spiritual leader, as a religious leader, before entering politics in full extent. And he's known to be a very high-ranking spiritual leader, and the legacy that he has left is the Islamic Republic, the current form of the government that we have in Iran.
Okay, let's go over to our guest in London, Dr. Saeb Shahabi. You just heard Dr. Izadi mention that Imam Khomeini, well, he was a spiritual leader, a religious leader, but at the same time, we know that he influenced many in Iran, especially when he was in exile. From there, he amassed a large portion of Iran to be his basically follower of what ideologies he presented. How was it that he exerted so much influence within Iran?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much, and my congratulations to the people of Iran for this anniversary. I think Imam had one important character, and that is he was a populist figure. He was a man who believed in the people of Iran and their ability to rule themselves rather than being ruled from outside. And this is what made him very popular inside Iran. And this is why he managed to topple one of the strongest regimes in the Middle East at the time, that of Mohammad Reza Shah Pahlavi. So when we met him in Paris in 1978, he was a man, you could see that he was a man of vision, a man of message, and a man of leadership.
Dr. Izadi, Dr. Shahabi just said that the late Imam was a man of influence. Obviously, he was able to exert his ideologies, as I mentioned, but what reasons do you give for the then Shah to have him ousted from Iran and send him into exile?
As I said, since he was a religious leader, high-ranking religious leader, the Shah's government could not kill him. The Shah's government was famous for killing dissidents and opponents. And in Shah's presence, tens of thousands of Iranians were killed by torture and different methods that the U.S. government actually supplied. And the U.S. government trained Shah's henchmen to kill a lot of people. But since Imam Khomeini was a high-ranking religious leader, killing him would have had a serious negative impact on Shah's government. So instead of killing Imam Khomeini, the Shah's government decided to exile him in order to put a distance between him and the Iranian people. So he was first exiled to Turkey. He was there for some months, and then he was exiled to Najaf in Iraq. And the idea behind that was, since Najaf had a lot of high-ranking religious leaders, the Shah's government thought that Imam Khomeini would not be able to stand out in that setting, which was a big mistake. Imam Khomeini managed to attract a lot of following in Najaf and was able to keep in touch with the people of Iran from there.
Dr. Shahabi, the late Imam Khomeini vehemently always went against the United States and also Israel. For the general public to understand that, if you can elaborate on that more for us as to why he opposed the United States to the degree that he did.
I think the Imam had lived through those problems that had faced the Muslim nations from 1924, when the Khilafah in Turkey was overthrown, to the beginning of the problems of Palestine in the 30s, and then the 1948 problems and the occupation of Palestine, 1956 the attack on Egypt, and 67 and so on. So he lived through generations of American domination and influence and exploitation of the Muslim of the Muslim wealth. He saw how the United States had plundered the money and the wealth of the Arab and Muslim nations, and how they brought their experts to support the Shah, how they supported SAVAK, the secret service of the Shah, and how they gave strong support to the Shah even to the last moments of his life, when he visited America in 1977 and was met by President Carter. It was a moment of a turning point in the revolution history, because that had really agitated the Iranians, who saw that the support, the unlimited support of a tyranny, was causing great troubles to the people of Iran. And this is the same thing. The problem is that the United States has never learned even from that experience, and it is still exercising the same policies with regard to the Muslim lands.
Dr. Izadi, let's look at the day that Imam Khomeini came to Iran, the famous speech that he had at Behesht-e Zahra, in which he had said that the Shah had violated the Constitution, and at the same time the late Imam condemned the spread of moral corruption inside Iran and accused the Shah of submission to the United States, which we just touched on. If you can briefly tell us, how did the Shah violate the Constitution in which the Imam was so forthright in saying?
You know, Iran's constitution during Shah's time was a result of the constitutional revolution in early 20th century in Iran that limited Shah's power. But Shah did not abide by that constitution. He managed to become a dictator. And he managed to become a dictator through the support that he received from the United States. And that support continued with him until the last day. In 1980, the Newsweek magazine had a story with the title, "Who Lost Iran?" And in that news story, the Newsweek magazine tried to recount the events that took place in the White House before Shah's fall down. And if you allow me, I read one sentence from that. This is from April 28, 1980, issue of Newsweek. The title is "Who Lost Iran?" And this is one line from it. It says, Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Carter's national security advisor, called the Shah and said the U.S. would, quote, back him to the hilt. So that's the attitude that the U.S. government had with regard to Shah. And as you know, during the Islamic Revolution, Shah killed a lot of demonstrators. Tens of thousands of demonstrators were killed by the Shah during the revolution and before the revolution. So.